listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Guide to life.
You thought about that.
I was timing. I was spacing out my words and over enunciating.
Spacing out, that's for sure.
That's probably it. Welcome to the Well-Fed Guide to Life.
Now you're just doing the Shatner.
Brought to you in part by PopChart.com. I'm Dave.
You're going a little walking.
Well, that's walking or Shatner. You really can't lose. Evan's here.
I think everyone loses.
They are bastions of acting greatness.
It's a damn lie. Hi.
I forgot to mention and wanted to ask. Well, the blueberry lavender lemonade with rum is not on happy hour, but would you still like it?
Yes.
Okay. Just
want
to make sure.
Give me something liquor-y and blue.
Exactly, and girly.
It's my standard. Oh, yes, you're one to talk, sir.
I know mine's girly. I'm not going to deny that my upcoming drink is
yours
very
is
girly.
More manly than mine is, though. But we'll talk about that when they arrive.
It's got some heat, some cajones.
Cajones.
It's restaurant week.
It is. It's our second annual restaurant week show.
Yep, and we are at Three Squares Restaurant.
Yes.
In Maple Grove. It's an untapped market for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't done anything in this direction.
I can't think of anything.
We've done Wyzetta. We've done Excelsior. That's about it.
Yeah. That was one of our goals for 2011, is to get out, do more bourbon places.
Right. Problem is that you kind of roll that Applebee's and TGI Fridays dice.
Yes.
You know, and this is walking that line.
Oh, we should say this is run by the Blue Plate people.
Yeah,
Groveland
Tap.
Yeah, Groveland Tap.
Edina Grill,
Longfellow Grill, a bunch of grill places.
Yeah. It's got a grill in the name and it's in the Twin Cities. Chances are Blue Plate owns it.
Yeah. So this is their first suburban place, if I remember correctly?
First heavy suburban place. I mean, I can't think of any of their other restaurants that are really this entrenched into a strip mall area.
Yeah. What I always like about these areas, and you only see them out in the burbs,
yeah,
is that they're kind of communes. They're these little patches of a whole bunch of kind of strip mall-y areas, all in kind of the boonies.
Yeah.
It's kind of the outlet mall kind of
It's an outlet.
Style.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I get what you're saying.
But it's real places. It's not like, you know, outlet mall places. It's you know, there's a Dunn Brothers across the street. There's a Clada Irish pub.
Yeah. There's things around. There's Mount Fuji.
There's Mount Fuji. Steak and sushi bar.
Right. That's actually right next door.
It is, yeah.
They're it's this nouveau type of strip mall. It is kind of it's
just nouveau and strip mall.
I know, but there's
together.
No other great way to describe it other than it's this new breed of strip mall. You know, it's not your traditional anchor of like a Walgreens at the end and then all this other mom and pop type stuff. You know, you got a bike shop, you got a hardware store, you got
A little bookstore, or video store.
Exactly. You know, something.
I'm just thinking of the strip mall that we went that, you know, in our hometown. Because they had two anchors. They had, you know, the big grocery store.
Right.
And then the other end had Kmart.
Right.
And then everything in between. I lived in that mall.
That is so... I don't think I've been in there in 3 or 4 years.
Well, it beat me by at least, you know,
it is.
Four
That's
or five
about
years.
As ghetto as it gets.
Now, see, back in the day,
oh,
that was the locus of teen activity.
It really was. What the hell happened?
Well, we all grew up. We all graduated.
Well, you know what it was? Is that
the internet.
Well,
goddamn internet.
Two other businesses opened and pretty much put those anchors out of business.
That's true.
You know, you get a Kmart, and that's really the only of that box store.
Big box store.
In town, and a Target opens up, boom goes the dynamite. Same thing with...
Have I mentioned how stupid that phrase is?
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. When do you think... When did you think I started caring what you think?
No, I just...
When did that happen?
I long ago...
Explain that to me.
I long ago learned you don't care.
No,
if you did, you wouldn't be wearing the sunglasses on the forehead.
Well, I can take that off.
But...
I'm gonna tuck them right here.
I'm just
actually, you know what I'm gonna do?
I'm just making a stand.
That just happened.
Oh, you see, now you just look like Guy Fieri, and no one wants that. Not even Mrs. Fieri.
Everyone wants the Fieri.
No, that's just wrong.
Oh.
But no, it was, you know, our hometown Shakopee, it kind of exploded.
Yeah.
You know, and it got a whole bunch of other stuff, and that destroyed kind of the traditional hangouts.
Right.
But back in the day, you had the I can't even remember in order.
I can.
I can go down the line.
Target, or excuse me, Kmart.
Oh, if you're going from that direction,
let's go that way.
It was
Kmart.
It was Kmart. It was
On Q.
No, in between there was a Fat Chick's clothes store. TJ Maxx.
No. It wasn't TJ Maxx. It was Fashion Bug.
Fashion Bug.
There was a hairstylist in there too.
There was a hairstylist. There was On Q, which
there was a martial arts place.
Well, we should explain what On Q is, because I don't think anyone's ever fucking heard of it.
On Q is like a poor man's Sam Goody.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't remember Sam Goody was basically the video and music section of Best Buy.
Yeah.
But that's it. That and CD towers just everywhere.
Yes. Excellent. I get mine first.
Neat.
But
it was On Cue.
It was On Cue.
Travel agency.
Which always had the posters for the hedonism.
Exactly.
And I never knew what they were, what that was for. I just knew there was mostly naked women on the poster.
And I wanted to go there.
And I wanted to go. I didn't realize it was basically an orgy vacation.
Yep. Radio Shack.
Which I still want to go to. Yeah, there was a Radio Shack kind of in that main entrance, in that middle entrance.
That was like a Pearl Vision or a Lens Crafters.
Yeah, one of those. You had GNC. Giant Fabrics.
GNC.
So GNC, I think, postdates me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't really been there since graduation. So.
Okay.
But then you had Joann Fabrics.
Yep.
Which was the site of many a high school project.
Exactly.
Like, the only time you ever saw high schoolers in there is when they were either goofing off or they had some sort of diorama they had to build.
Yep. Cat's eye. The yarn.
The cat's eye. Fucking cat's eyes. You had the theater.
Theater.
Which I think three quarters of our friends worked at.
You basically got the same thing.
Mine has pulp.
Okay. You sure that's not mine?
Well,
wait, what's one? Mine has...
Oh, you might have...
Hold
on.
Do I have...
Yeah.
Okay, what did you get?
Yeah, this is where they switched them.
Yeah, because yours is a lemonade, right?
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I was talking in front. Yours is a lemonade.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. I got mine first.
Yeah, but I was given it, because you apparently couldn't handle it.
I just squeezed this and nothing came out of it. I squeezed a lime and no juice came out of it.
I got lemon.
At least some lemon came out of it.
It did. Anyway, yeah, you had the Joann Fabrics, the theater. You had Adventures in Video.
Holy shit, that's got a
bit of a stank.
Yeah.
You had Adventures in Video, which was the what I loved about Adventures in Video.
I forgot about Adventures in Video.
Adventures in Video was awesome because it was one of the few places that had porn.
Right.
And they kept it, because this was back in the days where it was just tapes. I mean, this is pre-DVDs.
Right.
And
I remember they used to have Laserdisc for rental.
They might have. They definitely did. And they would keep the porn boxes, like the display cases, behind the counter.
Okay.
And depending on where you stood, you could kind of look at them. And by my recollection, they moved where they were at least three times.
Not that you were documenting.
Because people were figuring out where they were.
Okay.
Because that was also the only place in town where you could get comics.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
So all of us comics kids, we would go there because the management was pretty cool, so they didn't mind you sitting in the store all day and reading comics. You didn't have to actually buy them.
That's right.
So I spent hours of my weekends just in Adventures Video reading comics for free. And you buy their overpriced candy, and they were pretty cool with it.
Right.
And you tried to sneak a peek at the porno boxes. Because you were 14, and this was pre-internet,
yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Porn was hard to come by.
Porn was slow.
No pun intended. That was a disgusting joke. And then there was like this big dead zone.
Yeah.
And then
the dance studio. It was dance
the
studio.
Dance studio.
On the opposite side of the hallway there.
Yeah, which might as well have been a dead zone because
exactly.
You couldn't hang out there.
Right.
And then there was a Rainbow actually. I think.
No. Super Value.
Super Value.
Juba's Super Value.
Juba's, yeah.
Juba's.
Juba's, yes.
Juba's Super Value, or Red Owl.
Speaking of which, and this is the last little bit we'll talk about suburban living here for right now. We'll actually go back to your original point about the Applebee's thing.
Yeah.
After I'm here.
Okay.
I went to the No Coast Craft Fair, which is a big thing at the state fairgrounds. It's cold, so I want to say it's like November every year. And there's a guy there that does like custom leather, like leather pillows and things like that.
Yeah.
The guy made a Red Owl logo pillow leather.
Nice.
And if it wasn't $150, I would have bought it.
That's a bit much. That's steep.
Well, it's handmade, so.
It's steep.
It's very steep.
Yeah.
But it's not outside the realm of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we've talked about suburbs for 11 minutes.
All right, let's talk about what we're drinking.
Yeah, I went with their blueberry lavender lemonade, which has blueberry and lavender in a lemonade. And supposedly they put rum in it, but I'm not tasting it.
You should ask them about that.
I should. You got a big boy drink.
I got a big
boy.
Right here. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I do need to read that.
Yep.
I got the... Where did it go?
Starts with a B.
Oh, blackberry poblano margarita. Fresh blackberries and poblano peppers muddled in Jose Cuervo silver tequila. Shaken and strained over ice and then mixed with a lemon-lime sour. It's actually very good. I like it quite a bit. You get that fresh, sweet blackberry first, and then you get hit with that poblano pepper.
Yeah.
That's not terribly spicy, but it's spicy.
You're not expecting it.
Yeah. There's a whole lot going on in there.
Mm-hmm. So, as we are here for Restaurant Week, explain what that is again. I'll let you talk now.
Restaurant Week is it's essentially 7 days where various restaurants submit their menus to Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine, and Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine sponsors this. And it's typically a 3-course menu with different options that you can choose at a prefix price. We're doing 3 courses here, so we each order, and there's different options at each restaurant, and it's basically goes on for a week. You know, there's a lot of restaurants in town that are pricier than others,
yeah,
where you can actually becomes quite affordable to dine there.
Yep.
But yeah.
You mentioned the menus where it is a fixed menu. You basically get your choice of 1 of 3 openers, 1 of 4 or 5 entrees, and then 1 of 3 desserts. Now for this place, you get all that for $15, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, last year we did Masa,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite a bit pricier than this place is.
It was like a $30.
I think there was a $25 and a $35 variant. I think it was a similar idea. You know, you got a short list, a couple of things. And normally it's a pretty good mix of stuff. I mean, it obviously depends on the restaurant.
Yeah, there are some restaurants on the list that only have one option.
Yeah.
but they're it's a pricier option, you know.
Yeah.
I believe Murray's or Manny's is on there. They only have like one option at each, but it's, you know, normal. The steak that you're getting is normally the price of the entire meal that you're getting this during this week. So it's a pretty good deal in that realm.
Yeah. So, I went with the pierogies.
First course, yep.
First course is here. These are your typical kind of potato and cheddar pierogies. They've got crispy onion strings, which I think could be a little crispier, but that's just me. And a horseradish sauce. Now, on their own, the pierogies are fine. You know, they're not fantastic, but they're decent. With the horseradish sauce, though.
Come in, how are
you? Hey, good.
Good.
That would be me.
They're so delicious.
Thank you.
Excellent. That's the other thing, since everything is a set menu, it comes out really quick. Anyway, as I was saying, with the horseradish sauce, it is a for someone that isn't really into horseradish sauce, it is a potent mix.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know yet. Okay. I haven't decided. Part of me, my first instinct is that the horseradish completely just blows away the other flavors.
Okay.
Because it's mashed potatoes and cheddar, and it seems like it's a fairly light cheddar. So, you're doing it much more for the texture.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't quite decided if I like it yet. You've got some sort of salad,
I got
guess.
A grill salad, which, I'm not gonna lie, is pretty boring. I was expecting, I guess, in a grill salad, I've had grilled salad before. We had like a piece of some nice pieces of romaine that are actually thrown on the grill and crisp, and it changes the complexion, and not necessarily sours the lettuce, but it definitely gives it a different texture and taste. This is pretty much like an Italian salad. It's really, really heavy on the dressing.
Yeah.
I mean, visible amounts of dressing and a puddle of it on the plate. So that's a bit of a disappointment. It would probably be a pretty good salad otherwise, but the cucumber and the tomato and everything have been sitting on the salad for a while, and also so heavy on the dressing that it's quite disappointing. I'm eating because I'm hungry. But it did come with a piece of cornbread. The cornbread's actually pretty good, and I'm not usually a cornbread fan.
Yeah, neither am I.
But it's actually quite moist, and it's more cornbread cake. So, it's pretty good.
So, you were mentioning before we started the show that you got a bit of an Applebee's vibe from this place.
I still do, especially after the first place.
Explain what you mean.
The look of the place seems very, very boxy, very, you know, it's a funky style in here, but it's still gives me that same vibe that I do when I'm in Applebee's. There's also a certain amount of clientele. And that's not, I'm not trying to be...
You just hate families.
Well, there
you hate kids.
There is a lot of families in here. And you know, that's indicative of where we're at. You know, the location that we're at. You know, when we're in Uptown, when we're in Northeast, you just don't see a whole lot of kids. Like, matter of fact, I can't remember the last time we actually went to a restaurant and saw kids. I mean, you know, if you think hard enough about it, you just don't see that.
I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, though.
No. It's just... Maybe I've just become accustomed to it. And maybe it's me being a little bit food elitist at that point, where I don't want children at my table.
No, I'm sure that's a big part of it.
But it's things like that, small things like that, like there's a kid.
But you can't blame the place.
No.
For, you know, it's not like they're going to say, you must be at least this tall to eat.
I'd be okay with that.
Well, yeah, but...
But, like, there's a kid that keeps popping up over your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
It was driving me a little nuts.
Okay.
It was the last time he went up over your shoulder. I gave him a mean look, and he hasn't been up there since.
Making friends again.
I'm going to be a horrible father someday.
Yeah, you are. That's implying you ever breed.
Or ever have sex again.
Both of which looking less and less likely as the day goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of see what you're saying. But one thing I think is kind of a big deal. There is a bit of the you have to accommodate for families and things like that.
Yeah.
Simply because you've got to. It's more of a layout of how you do the tables. Like I think of a place like the Red Stag.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly can accommodate large groups of people.
Yeah.
But since they're not dealing with kids, the overall table size can be smaller. You know, kids, you have a blast radius. You know, essentially.
We need a higher wall, though.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look, you know, you've got a big family over to my right. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got probably four kids. They look all about, you know, five or less.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they're wandering around, and they're doing that, and you just got to kind of accommodate for that. Like,
I like my blast radius. So.
Well, it's what it is. It's, you know, it's...
Well, it's an excellent take. I mean, they definitely do have to have some sort of... area to move around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what for the area that we're in,
yeah.
It makes complete sense. This place makes complete and utter sense. We're in Maple Grove. It's family heavy. We're in a strip mall.
How's everything so far?
Very good.
Okay, good.
I don't know if I got any rum in this. Either that or I'm much more of an alcoholic than I think I am.
Let me check on that.
All right.
And I will check to see if you put rum in that.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
They should just bring you a shot of rum.
I'd be fine with that. Now, that said, we've been to a lot of the other blue plate places.
Yeah.
And none of them, I would say, are really...
He said he did, so huh. Maybe he said it really, probably the lavender probably really
maybe.
Takes it,
maybe.
So...
Huh. All right.
Okay.
All right. I will trust you this time.
Okay.
All right. But none of I keep wanting to call them the three plates. The blue plate places. None of them are, they're very much kind of a second run parasol.
Excellent way to put it.
You know, maybe not second run so much as
the next run down. That's completely right.
Well, I'm phrasing it. I'm going to phrase it a little less mean.
Well,
they're more a suburban chain. They're more a suburban group. They're appealing to different audiences than something like a Parasol is.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing big groups. They're doing. You know,
I think the food quality is different too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I ate at a Parasol restaurant last night.
Yeah.
And it was completely different.
Yeah, no, but I'm thinking of like the Longfellow Grill and stuff like that. Like all of those, like, and I'm sure if we go back to those shows, I've said the same thing where it's like, it's good, but you know, I wouldn't, you know, you're having the meatloaf,
right.
Which I've had before. I think it was at Longfellow. I had their meatloaf.
Yep. You might actually have it at Donna Grill too.
I might have. I don't care. It's fine, but I wouldn't necessarily put it above something like something that's right across the street, Granite City.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of caliber.
I know what you're saying.
You know, where it's not bad. Like I would have no problem coming back to a blue plate place and eating that.
Yeah.
But, and I think it makes more sense out here. You know, out in the burbs where... I'm not saying that they like worse food, but there's different things to consider.
You have to play to your audience.
Exactly.
You have to play to your audience. You have to know your clientele. You know, they. For instance, Murray's or Manny's, I can't remember which one, has a sister restaurant out in this area called Pittsburgh Blue, which we drove past.
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah.
All right. And. they don't have the same quality, but they give you a lot of bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you're not getting your tableside carving or anything like that.
No.
But you're getting, you know, family size platters of sides that you can share. You know. And good steaks. Not great steaks. Good steaks at an affordable price.
Yeah. And what kills me about that is that I'm convinced if you took a mayonnaise or even like a Parasol place, like an El Gato, or even like a Burger Jones, which is also a Parasol place. You know,
one of the only Parasol places I don't like.
Have you been there?
No, and I'm going to make a point of this calendar year to go back.
Yeah, wait till the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't see why a place like those couldn't succeed out in the suburbs. I wonder how much of it is fear on the part of the restaurant owners.
I think it is. You're not going to see an established place like Murray's or Manny's or anything like that out here, simply because it's one of those Minneapolis or Twin Cities originals.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's also an institution type of a deal. People know where those places are, and if you move them, you're really rolling the dice, and that's a gamble that I think a lot of restaurant owners aren't. I mean, restaurant ownership in general is a roll of the dice.
That's kind of the impetus behind the restaurant week.
Right.
Is to get people out trying new places.
Right. And make it affordable, you know, so it's not a crapshoot. You know, at some of these places, you're easily dropping $100 a meal if there's two of you.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. But at this place, you can go, if you went to three places during the week, you're probably dropping the same amount of coin, the drinks aside.
Yeah.
You're still dropping the same amount of coin, but you're getting three different places that you might actually like and want to go back to and be willing to invest that money.
Uh-huh.
And especially in this type of economy.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked a little bit, not on the show, but we talked a little bit when we were in Wayzata for that sushi place, whose name is escaping me right now.
Sakana.
Where we were talking about, like, I would never move out there. You know, I would never move out to those suburbs. You know. And...
Sorry, do you want another drink?
I think just the water for right now.
The water, okay.
Yeah. But if I knew I could get something to the quality of like an Ike's.
Yeah.
Or even an El Gato or something like that. If I knew I could get something to that level out in the suburbs, I wouldn't have as big a problem.
It would be more, much, yeah. It is a, you know, you have, if you're opening up an uptown, you better know what the hell you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you better know your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they'll get run out of town in a hurry, and especially with the scene here now, the food scene here now, it just takes one really bad review and you're hosed.
You're done.
Yeah, I think. So a place that is kind of indicative of that is a place like Moto E,
mm-hmm.
which I've probably dined there 4 or 5 times since we did a review there,
mm-hmm.
and it has consistently dropped off. And you read that in the reviews, and the last time that I was in there, it was nearly empty.
Really?
Which is a shame. But it's very indicative of, you know, that area.
It's a hard, I mean, well, anything in the cities is hard.
Right.
You know. And I just, I know I've talked about this before, what's really interesting is that the only place we're seeing really good, high quality, and interesting suburban food is in ethnic cuisines.
Yeah.
Sakana, a couple weeks ago, I think of Best Deli or whatever, the Delicious Bakery.
Yeah.
The Brazilian place in Minnetonka.
Which has now since gone out of business, but it's under a different name.
Oh, has it?
Well, it's under a different name now.
Oh. But did it go out of business or did they just change their name?
It's different owners now.
Oh, is it?
Same. Same stuff. They've actually expanded the menu, but.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, whatever. And we've talked about that before, where it's just, there's a lot of the immigrants coming and they don't want to have to go into the city to get the food that they want.
Rent is
much cheaper. And it just kills me that you can't get a good, I can go to Minnetonka and get really good and reasonably authentic Brazilian food, but I can't go and get Italian food. I can't get, a steak or something like that. So I don't know what it would take, but I think it's interesting, I guess. But
it'll be interesting to watch over the next few years. Second and third ring suburbs like Maple Grove, like Shakopee, like Woodbury, become that second tier suburb as expansion just keeps happening.
Yeah.
And whether or not you start to see places develop like you would see in an uptown or northeast in an area like this, I think it's going to might take longer than 2 or 3 years, but it'll eventually happen. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I would like to be able to go to my parents' place, and be able to know that I'm gonna, if we go out for dinner for some reason, I don't want to think it's suburban food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want this to be, this is awesome. This is really well done.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. And, as part of the effort on the show to do more suburban places, if you know of a place that you want to recommend, be it a newer place or an institution, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like any place that's going to be, I think of Wompoc's in Shakopee.
We have to do before I move out of
it. Yes. No one is ever going to call Wompoc's good.
No. But it's a thing.
But it's an institution. But I'm just saying, that's the only place where you get any sort of real quality, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Originality.
Originality, something like that. But originality from 50 years ago.
Right. Well, it's traditional diner food,
That's my point. I'm just saying, it's always the traditional, the places that have been there for a long time. They're the ones that are still doing okay.
Right.
Anyway. So our entrees have arrived and are mostly gone.
Trudging through them.
You don't seem like you're having a good time.
I'm really not. I think this goes back to an earlier mention in that because it is a prefix menu, they're kind of prepackaged. It seems very prepackaged.
Yep. Well, that's also how they can get it out today.
Right. I think had we gone to a smaller place, maybe there's a lot of other places that I kind of went back and forth on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say a bit more scratch cooking.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem very scratch to me. So I think that's why it's.
What did you get?
I got the grilled meatloaf. The grilled meatloaf has onion, spinach, tomato, and it's served with the chipotle ketchup. I actually like the ketchup quite a bit. I'd love it with some fries, actually.
Really?
Especially some sweet potato fries would be actually really good. And the meatloaf is pretty marginal. The potatoes are not good.
No. That is probably the weakest. And I've got the slow-roasted pork with cream corn, and garlic and Asiago cheese mashed potatoes.
Which I got the same potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's all in the same fat.
Yep.
And that's easily the weakest part of this thing was, you know, they're sticky without being moist, if that makes any sense. You know, it's like, it's just...
The cheese dried it out.
Yeah, it's very dry.
Cream really badly.
Yeah, it's a very dry. And, it, you know, I don't know too much about how restaurants do their food, but all I can think of is, this is what I would expect, like, the difference between really good scratch-made mashed potatoes, or even really well-done powdered mashed potatoes, okay? Because you can do powdered well.
I agree. I love potato butts. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love me some potato butts.
Yeah. We actually eat very little potatoes in the Peterson household. But the difference between like a really well done mashed potato and what we were given is kind of the difference I see between like a really good gourmet hot dog and a gas station heat lamp dog.
A wiener.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this heat lamps are involved, but I just think of these as heat lamp mashed potatoes.
I agree.
These are ones that have been sitting out too long.
Yeah.
They, you know, they were probably made this morning, and they're just scooping it out of the vat like ice cream.
No, I'm fine with you making them ahead of time, but that would be good.
Yeah, it just seems like they just sat out too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meatloaf has a strange consistency.
I remember thinking that at Longfellow.
And the which is strange because I really liked Longfellow the last time we were there because I had that burrito, that brat burrito.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. It was really original.
Yeah.
This is just pretty marginal.
But no, I got the slow roasting pork, which is actually very good. I will give them credit. It was a good good texture. It was well cooked. The sauce was a little sweet, but I like sweet. I can see some other people might not like it too much, but I thought it was a fine sauce on the pork. But again, nothing really to write home about. Talked about the mashed potatoes, and then I got a cream corn, which is a cream corn with onions, which is a fine idea. I enjoy it. And it was fine.
Yep.
You know, it was okay. You know, I could have probably put pepper on it, and I probably should have.
Yeah.
But I'm a corn guy. I love corn.
It's an overlooked though.
It is.
It's an overlooked side.
It is. And like I'm a big fan of the because Heather hates corn.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. She won't even eat stuff with corn in it.
Really?
So like a casserole or something like that.
Oh my God.
She won't do it with corn in it, like at all.
What do you do for tater tot hoppers?
Well, I've never actually made tater tot in her presence.
So.
But no.
So do you want me to get you guys a Russian flag for a wedding present? I'm just wondering. My commie brethren.
Yeah. No. It's,
are you
it's,
sure?
It's no. It's just more. I've never made it. I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't felt the need to be like, eh, fuck it. I'll make tater tot either. But she doesn't like tater tots either. So you're kind of doubly screwed in that regard.
I don't even know what a North Korean flag looks like.
It's a lot of red.
Should be flown over your house.
Probably. Hey, I'm true blue tater tot.
This explains the giant portrait of Kim Jong Il over your bed.
Well, I have performance issues without him. That's really what it was about.
Most men do.
Yeah, yeah.
Most men do.
This is the waddle. It's very, very hypnotizing. Anyway.
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. Anyway. So, no, she can't do corn at all.
Like, yeah.
Just can't do it. So, I've gotten the frozen microwave cups of corn.
The steam fresh ones?
The steam fresh ones with the butter sauce.
How phenomenal are those?
Those are awesome. I'll sit there and like, she's honestly, like, almost disgusted by corn.
I would just, you know what you should do? You should microwave all four of them at the same time and just dump them into a bowl and just eat them all.
No, I'll just sit there on the couch and I'm like, watch TV and I'll just have corn. And she's like, how do you do that? And I'm like, it's delicious. That's how I do it.
It's sweet, it's salty, it's buttery.
Yeah.
What's not to love? It's just a carrier for all this wonderful taste.
Yeah, it's 700 calories a spoonful.
Crack a little black pepper on there. That's good.
But I'm intrigued. Now, I've never had the cream corn because, I mean, those little frozen things, they got so much damn butter in them that they might as well be cream corn.
Yeah.
But I want to try the onions, little diced up onions in there. That'd be good.
Did they have some texture to them, or were they...
The onions?
Yeah.
In my cream corn here?
Kind of cooked in, or...?
Oh, a little bit. They were a red onion, so they did stand out a little bit from the cream corn part of it.
That would be good.
They were cooked. They were very lightly sautéed. Mm. So they had a little bit of crunch to them, like you could tell.
They were sweat.
Is that the term?
I think. They were sweated.
Sweated? Swoted?
Dynamited.
I love in-jokes from the car ride here. Makes no sense to anyone.
Don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. But I think the cream corn was good, and but again, it's one of those where I've had better, and it's more, and you can chalk this up to food elitism or whatever, but it's like,
do better.
I've had better, and it's just an unimpressiveness, you know.
Yeah.
I think of the three, I think the cream corn was what was the best of the three, with a close second being that pork, because it was well done, it was a good sauce, but I think their sauce is fairly sweet.
What's I want to go back to these potatoes.
Yeah.
What's your take on the de facto garlic mashed potato as the perennial side in a lot of foods?
So you're just talking about the dish as a whole. You're not talking about the garlic part of it.
No, it's...
Because I'll put garlic in anything.
Oh, yeah.
I put garlic on my shredded wheat if I thought I could.
I'd probably roll with that, too.
Yeah. I'll talk about the shredded wheat.
You know what I mean. You know, the mashed potato.
Or it's become the
designer mashed potato.
I think it's become... I think what it is, it's extremely cheap.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel as bad for you as French fries.
Yeah, but I would. Yeah.
You know, I think that's the kind of the psychology behind it. And also there's the, it's just, it, everything is going to be compared against French fries.
Yeah.
Because that is by and large the default side to food.
Yeah.
Okay. When you go out for food, you're getting French fries, because most of the time when you go out for food, you're going to a fast food place.
Yeah.
So if you want to just class it up just enough to make it feel like a bit of an occasion,
yeah,
you do the mashed potatoes. Plus, there's a homey element to it.
But I'm a big fan of the potato choice, the starch choice.
Okay.
Because you can really kind of play around with it. I mean. Mashed potatoes have never been my favorite thing.
Yeah.
They're just kind of there.
Uh-huh.
And any time that I've ever had them, I've never been like, oh my god, this is utterly fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is tremendous mashed potatoes. God, yeah. That was really hard for me to say. I had some meatloaf stuck in there.
Just worked in the turkey.
It just seems like it's an out to me. It's like an out food.
You're adding it to your list that is currently held also by sliders.
Yeah, things I'm tired of. Do better.
Well, okay. What would you? No, okay.
They have. Okay.
This is the if you ran the restaurant.
Yep.
So portion of the
show. I already thought I knew where you were going to go with this, and I've already prepared some things in my mind.
So you have to come up with a side.
Yep.
That most, if not all, people will like.
Yep.
And is fairly cheap to make.
Okay. They've already got it on the menu.
Okay.
Do some grits. Do some, like...
Grits won't work.
Why?
Because until... Here's a perfect example.
Okay.
Me. Until I started doing a show I would not eat grits.
Right.
Well, I still, grits are weird to people.
Right.
Okay. It's southern.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, I hate to phrase it like this.
Can you just place something for you?
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you.
You know, it's not from around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it pains me to say this, but I know there's an element of truth to this. It sounds a little ethnic. It sounds a little black for some people.
It is. I agree.
I'm not saying that this is my thinking for it. I'm just saying that's your argument against mass acceptance toward grits. I'm fine with grits. I like grits.
Sticking in the fry realm.
Okay.
But doing some different types of fries that you're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing a French fry, but let's fry that bad boy with some duck fat.
Duck fat, extremely expensive. See, again, it's all about cheapness.
Yeah, okay.
If it's going to be the default, it has to be cheap enough to be the default.
Then let's do something with fries, not necessarily duck fat. That's a given option that you can have those French fries. A little poutine.
Sounds foreign.
Okay, it's got cheese curds and gravy on it.
Nah, I don't care. Then why don't they call it cheese curd gravy fries? No, they call it some fruity French name.
No, that's what I would call it. That's what I'm saying. Call it cheese curd and gravy fries. See, that sounds better in my brain. That should work. But it's
wouldn't
wrong.
Work as a side.
You could do a little side of it.
Yeah, you're crazy. I don't think that would work.
Really?
I agree with you in the sense that I would like options.
How about something like a red beans and rice or something like that?
Sounds Mexican.
It is. It's Caribbean. Sort of.
Again, it can't sound foreign. It can't sound weird.
Well, help me out here.
No, see, here's the... No, you've hit on the struggle.
Sweet potato fries.
You've hit on the struggle. I would
do it with like that Chipotle.
I think that would be good. I think that's probably the most likely. But I don't know what the comparative price between potato powder and sweet potato powder is.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
sweet potatoes are cheap though.
And they might be. But can you get them powdered? I think that's the other thing.
No. Do you think that was powdered? I don't
think these were, but I'm just saying if we're talking default, exactly. There's got to be a way to do it extremely cheap.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm with you, and I think your frustration is the frustration that restaurateurs the world over have.
Yeah.
Is they? I'm sure there are people that want to have a different sound.
Yeah. I think if you had a theme to the restaurant, you could do things like that. But
yeah.
When you're in a place like this, where there is no definitive.
There's no cuisine.
There's no
cuisine.
Yeah.
This is the culinary equivalent of a big box store.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's an upscale Applebee's. Going back to the, you know.
What do you say? It's that upscale.
Well, no, but it's. It offers you some things that you don't normally see, especially with my drink. And we should really talk about, you know, as we're waiting for third course to come.
Yeah.
My drink is not something you're going to see in. In a big box restaurant, you know, it has some things in there that is very indicative of the.
Your dessert, so it's on its way.
Hey, cool.
Another beverage for you.
Can I get a water with a lemon?
Water with lemon. Okay.
Thank you. But it's very indicative of the Blue Plate restaurants, where they've got a fairly good menu. But then they've got these fairly unique drinks and a good beer menu as well.
Yes, yeah, I will give them a lot of credit.
You know,
on
that's
the
really
drinks.
Where it steps up from the big box restaurants.
Yeah.
I liked my drink. My drink has been my favorite part so far. It is completely unique, and I've never had anything like it before. I've had things that were similar, but nothing that I really enjoyed as much as I am right now. Like I said before, they have this overt sweetness with the fresh blackberries, and you actually do taste and get a little bit of that chewy blackberryness that comes up through the straw. But then
pulp, as it were.
Pulp, thank you. Well,
yeah. Or chewiness, that
chewiness.
Works too.
Well, the blackberry muddle is essentially what it is. Then you get that nice spiciness of the poblano. The poblano is like an overlooked pepper.
Well, it says you and Bobby Flay.
Yeah, I know. Well, I agree. You know.
Speaking of which, are we going to try to find him while he's in town and beat him up?
We should. Ginger. Real loving bastard. That's Chipotle, bro, not Chipotle. He's the only person in America.
I think he's earned it at this point.
I don't care. Yes, but we should beat his ginger-looking ass.
I say we need to get him on a show.
He'll never do it.
I know he wouldn't do it.
It's too good for us.
I know it. I wouldn't disagree with him if he said that.
I would just keep saying, I would order something with Chipotle in it just to harass him? Just to say Chipotle over and over and over. Same thing with Big Teeth. I would order something with ricotta in it and just keep calling it ricotta or rocotta. Not ricotta.
You see, what I love is your mindless hatred of food personalities.
I really do. I don't hate them all, though. I really don't.
But the ones you hate with a fire.
A fury, and I've got a new one that I'm gonna add to it.
Okay.
It's the.
We haven't talked about Food Network in a while, and I'm actually gonna lose the ability fairly soon to comment on Food Network.
People. I'm gonna be the de facto judge, jury.
Do they have Food Network on Hulu?
I'm pretty sure that they do.
Okay.
It's probably only gonna be able to get like Rachel Ray and Good Eats, just constant loop.
That's fine. I can watch Rachel Ray with the sound off.
Pants are on the ankles.
Yeah.
She does Latin American cuisine.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
She's like the Latin version of Jada. Like, yeah, come on, like, punch you in the face.
See, I just think...
It's terrible.
I just think you hate foreigners.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we've settled that.
Congratulations, Einstein.
Yeah, well...
Want a cookie?
No, I know that show that you're talking about. I actually don't mind her so much. Granted, I have a weakness for Latin women. So.
Foreigners.
Not all foreigners.
Communist countries, Cuba, North Korea, Soviet Union, former Soviet Union.
Russian is a sweet accent.
It's that whole Eastern Bloc thing that you got going on.
It's that rigid lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. They come out of the womb, they've already got a .08.
Was it a blood alcohol joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try and keep up. My wit is quick.
Yeah, that's
stealthy. You didn't even see it coming. It was just like, oh, there's a joke.
Yeah, but don't you want to see jokes? Yeah, never mind. Anyway. What were we even talking about? Talking about your drink with the poblanos and the stuff.
It was definitely a highlight. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was... it'd be something I'd be willing... I'd like to try to make at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't make a whole lot of mixed drinks at home simply because it's...
Says the man that spends 4 days planning his weekend cooking.
Well, that's one meal. And I think that there is... I think on a drink like that, there's not as much payoff.
Okay. I'll buy that.
If I make something over my weekend meal and it's good, I got it for like 3 or 4 days because it's only me.
Yeah.
I know it's not just one meal and I'm done.
Yeah.
With something like this, I might have one drink or two, and if it sucks, then I still have this big old bottle of alcohol that I might not necessarily use.
Yeah, so. I will give you that. My drink was very disappointing. I'll be entirely honest. I don't believe, in fact, that they put any rum in there.
I don't believe it either.
And if they did, it was a splash. It was certainly not $2 of rum. But the lemonade was fine. You know, the lemonade bar was okay.
But you didn't have lemonade anywhere.
I know, and I have rum at home.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, well. What can I say?
It's been for us, I think, a learning experience here so far. I think for me it has been.
Okay.
I'm not pushing out the idea that we're not going to find good places in the burbs, but
no.
It's kind of like, I think we kind of have to reset the bar a little bit. You know what I mean?
I think for me, it's less a learning experience and more a...
Anything else for you right now?
No,
we're good.
Thanks.
For me, it's more of a... This place doesn't say anything about suburban dining. What it says to me is that Blue Plate isn't that good. I mean,
but
we mean this.
We've had.
I know, but it just it's one of those where it finally confirmed with me that it is not.
Well, it's not Parasol level.
Well, no.
It's not Parasol level, and then you know, for lack of a better term, before ranking, you know, you have the D'Amico chain, which is slowly, I believe, is going to take over every fine dining establishment in the Twin Cities and form their own communist government, which I'm okay with. At least we'll be well fed.
Which is
then you have
tends your, to be the downside of communist.
Then you have your Parasol level, and then you have your Blue Plate.
Yeah. So the dessert has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I went with a lime panna cotta.
Yep.
I love panna cotta. Comes with a butter cookie, which is it's a butter cookie straw. Which is fine. The panna cotta. I hope I'm not getting sick.
Probably not either, because you kind of coughed on me.
Yeah, sorry. The panna cotta is really interesting.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like a slightly rubbery key lime pie. Because, I mean, the panna cotta, it's always got a little bit of that wobble to it. It's not like a custard. Well, I mean, it is a custard, but it's
a flan?
It's closer to like a flan. It's got a little bit of pull to it, you know. So you get that. It's almost... It's a really strong and very upfront lime flavor, which is what made me think of like a key lime pie. But I think the texture is really good. It reminds me of a lot of sherbet, actually. So it's almost like a warm sherbet. Or sherbet, or however the hell you pronounce it. But it's pretty tasty. I will give them credit on this. How was your brownie?
Well, it's kind of par for the course.
Uh-huh.
The brownie was not made here. It's very... tastes very store-bought. The praline sauce is good, but again, it's store-bought.
Yeah.
It's given me no indication that it is... that it's homemade at all. You know, you can kind of tell when something's homemade.
Yeah.
There's no real way to put it
especially
in.
Especially baked goods.
Especially baked goods. And then it was served with whipped cream, which is vanilla ice cream in this case. Even though it says whipped cream on the menu.
Oh, really?
It's vanilla ice cream.
That's a kind of whipped cream, I guess.
Not really.
No? Not really?
Pretty much different.
Yeah.
Especially since I went to another place that's on the restaurant... on Restaurant Week's listing called Scoozy, which is a Parasol restaurant.
This episode not brought to you by Parasol. We've been kind of sucking them off this episode.
We really have. We've really been sucking at the guys have got really big teeth, too. So, at least we got real estate.
Thanks for that image.
You're welcome.
I'm glad I finished my my panna cotta. Anyway.
It's also on Restaurant Week. And I had dessert. We had Zeppelis. Familiar?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what that is, think donut holes, but very light and almost creamy at the same time, which is a lot to wrap your brain around. But it was served with a homemade
hot... They're kind of like beignets.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rolled in cinnamon and sugar.
Yep.
Topped with a fudge sauce, homemade red wine fudge sauce, and drunken cherries, and homemade whipped cream.
That's almost too
much. I had a sugar high for we got out of there like 9. I didn't get to sleep until almost 12:30. I could not sleep. I had so much sugar.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But this is not that.
No.
So.
It's not that, but if you're looking for a place that we can give a recommendation to while it still is restaurant week, definitely suggest checking out Scoosie. There's also, and I'll get this in the show notes tomorrow. You get the show up posted. I'll link to our old episodes where we've done shows that are in restaurant weeks.
In restaurant week, yep.
Yep.
There's to me, it strikes me as a bigger list this year.
It is. And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
There's a place listed on there that's in Duluth.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Which place?
Don't remember.
Oh. You remember the kind of food?
New American, I believe, is what it's called.
That is the worst definition of cuisine ever.
Actually, what they list on the website.
I'm sure it is, but it's still dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb.
I'm so disappointed. Back by my old apartment, there is a Greek kind of restaurant. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But they just got a new sign, which saddened me greatly because the old sign said
it's one of across from Common Roots.
No. This is up on Franklin, like toward Electric Fetus.
Okay.
I forget the name of the place, but the sign used to advertise that they had Mediterranean and America food, not American, America. And we always giggled at that every time we drove by there, and they changed the sign, and that was sad.
That would be disappointing.
Yeah, I always wanted to see what America food looked like.
All right, so final verdict.
If I was out here, if I was out in Maple Grove to do, for some reason, visiting family or something like that, and this place was suggested, I would not say no. But if it was left up to me, I would look elsewhere.
I agree. I think there's a lot of, you know, we have a smattering of the menu.
Yeah.
You know, they 4 entrees, 3 appetizers, 3 desserts. So we're only getting a smattering of the menu. And the things that we've had other places, in other parts of their group, the Blue Plate Restaurant Group,
mm-hmm.
have been good.
Yeah.
Stuff we had at Groveland was good.
Yeah.
Edina Grill was good. Longville was good. This just kind of fell off the map. And maybe it's just because it is restaurant week, because they are confined to these dishes. And that maybe they're just trying to get them out there quicker. And they're expecting a higher turnout because it is such a good deal.
And that is entirely possible. I remember back to Masa when we did that last year.
Yeah.
I didn't get that feeling, but I also think that was so much more expensive, and it was harder to get to, and yeah. It was in the heart of downtown, where I think they can get away with making it a little more on demand. Whereas here, I mean, this place is packed.
It's about 80% full.
I would say
80 to 90.
Yeah, but I would say at least 100-150 people here.
At least, yep.
You know, and if everyone's getting on one of 4 things, you know, that's a lot of damn meatloaf you gotta come up with.
Yeah, it is.
You know, whereas Masa, yeah, it's big, and yeah, at its capacity, it can probably hold as many people as this place.
Right.
But you're dealing with a higher caliber kitchen staff, you're dealing with more expensive food.
You're dealing with a different clientele.
You're dealing with a much different clientele, too.
That's willing to pay, I think, when you're downtown like that, and you're going to a restaurant like that, you're willing to pay that premium.
Yeah.
Fresh ingredients, different types of things. And this was just kind of very loose-handed, very passe. I'm definitely with you. If I'm up in this area and somebody suggests this in the area, I'm probably going to say, let's go to the Irish place across the street.
Yeah.
Roll the dice there.
I've actually eaten there. It's pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
All right, so you know, let's go up one price range and go over to Pittsburgh Zoo.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'd be willing to go to Granite City at this point, so... I think
I
get the same vibe.
If you're looking for In fact, I remember way back, long time ago. I think it was.
I'm good, thank
you. Oh, you're good?
Yeah, I think just the check.
Just say, on one or separate?
Together.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Long time ago, and we'll end on this note. Long time ago, when we first started getting the Facebook page and talking with some of the people on that, we had a listener ask us if we were ever going to do Granite City. And I explained that, you know, while we have nothing against Granite City, it is a chain. It's a smaller regional chain, but it is a chain. I can now say we've done Granite City.
Right.
I mean, this. I mean, it is that very similar caliber.
Yep.
Without the microbrew aspect.
Yep.
You know, so or the brew pub or whatever the classification is. So if you're looking for that style of food, then you know you can certainly do worse.
Right.
You know, I will give them credit for doing a panna cotta. Very few places will do a panna cotta.
Right. Yeah. I think you wrapped it up very nicely.
Well, thank you. I was going to try to pay with my phone. That doesn't do me any good. Are you going to leave a nasty comment?
No, but are they just to go over, we've actually hit... I think you just read what I did.
Yeah, we just saw the exact same thing on the card.
Yeah.
But that's really funny.
But that being said, what about the well-fed guy?
No, I think we should bring up. No, we correct the error before we get emails.
No, we're good.
All right, fine. We'll tease it this way.
Yeah. I was very wrong.
One of us made an error on the show.
A legitimate
on this
bad
show.
Error.
One of us made an error on this show. If you can spot the error,
and it was a big one,
and contact us. You can either contact us at wellfed@fancypantsgangsters.com or leave something in the show notes. We'll see if we can come up with
I'll buy the gift certificate to the place, if you can think of it.
That reminds me, I still got to get that gift certificate for our iTunes, for the listener's choice thing.
Yes.
I'm way behind on that, but I don't live near that place anymore, so oh well. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. As always, we welcome comments, recommendations,
corrections.
All of that stuff in our show notes or via the web or via the email at wellfed@fancypantsgangsters.com. I'm just drinking this in like a fine wine.
You should be.
Because that was awesome.
Yeah. Epic of errors.
That was pretty good. completely untracked. Twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg. You can do Facebook at Wellfed Guide to Life. You can follow us on Foursquare at Wellfed Guide. You can search us there, search via our email address. Or if you're at all confused by all of that, just find me online and ask me, and I'll say it better. As always, we thank our sponsor, HopChart.com. And hope you guys enjoy the rest of Restaurant Week. When does it go to? When's the last day? Is it Friday?
Monday.
Next Monday?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Okay, yep. So you got almost a full week to enjoy it. The list will be in our show notes as well. And a lot of cool places out there. And I would say thank you guys again for listening. And we'll see you next week.